We do want to wish a very happy Mother's Day for all of our moms who are here with us. And of course, no Mother's Day message would be complete without some time here for a little reflection on what it means to be a mom. So I came across this right here, and this is something that I'm sure that many of you can identify with. This is what it means to be a mother. It's called, "You know that you are a mom when you count the number of sprinkles on each kid's cupcake to make sure that they are equal." You know you're a mom when you want to take a contract out on the kid who broke your child's favorite toy and made him cry. You know that you're a mom when you have time to shave only one leg at a time. You know, actually, this one here, I do this one too. But it says, you know that you're a mom when you hide in the bathroom to be alone. And I live alone and I still do it. So, you know that you're a mom when your child throws up and you catch it. You know that you're a mom when someone else's kid throws up at a party and you keep eating. And I've seen this one before. You know that you're a mom when you have mastered the art of placing food on a plate without anything touching. You know your mom when you hire a babysitter because you haven't been out with your husband in ages, and then you spend half the night talking about and checking on the kids. You know your mom when you obsess when your child clings to you upon parting during his first month at school, and then you obsess when he skips in without looking back. And then you know your mom when you hear your mother's voice coming out of your mouth when you say, "Not in your good clothes." And finally, you know your mom when you stop criticizing the way your mother raised you. As I said, for many of us, though, today is a happy day. It is a happy day celebrating the mothers who have loved us and who have cared for us through it all, through thick and thin. But as I prayed before, I know, though, too, that Mother's Day can be a difficult day for some of us as well. That perhaps you did not have a good mom, a loving, godly mother. Or perhaps your mother has passed away, and so there are some painful feelings that come on this day for you. Or perhaps some have wished to be moms, have wanted to, but for some reason were not able to do so. Or maybe there are some, and maybe even some who are here, who perhaps feel a little guilty wishing that they were better mothers than they are. But whatever your situation, I pray that your heart will be encouraged here today, that you will have a blessing through this message here today. I understand, you know, that there can be many negative and painful memories, and my heart does go out to you. And I can certainly identify with the pain of losing your mother. And yet, I can rejoice that she is with the Lord, and I know that many of you can as well, that your mothers are with the Lord. So whatever that situation is, I pray that you will be encouraged, though, here today. For today, then, I want to take a look at a somewhat well-known passage of Scripture here and see if this might encourage your heart today. It is called "A Blessing for Those Who Are Stressing." Is there anybody here who feels like you're kind of stressing out a little bit? If maybe not today, maybe you have been in other days then. You felt like things are just kind of coming in on you, pressing in on you. But I want you to know that whether you're a mother who is feeling the pressure and the strains and the burdens and the responsibility, or if you're not a mother, just anyone, any one of us here certainly knows what it is to feel the burdens and pressures of life here. Our story comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And in that, we will see it's the story of Jesus at the home of Martha and Mary and what happened there and what Jesus said to Martha in the midst of that. And what is the lesson that is in that for all of us? Well, it is simply this. It's easy for life to become overwhelming. And we need to remember, we all need to remember, what is the better thing? And that better thing is to sit at the feet of Jesus, to listen to Him, to commune with Him, to worship with Him. And that when we do that, worship can bring peace and perspective to all of life's pressures and burdens and responsibilities. Not that it takes everything all away, but it can bring peace and perspective to us in the midst of life's pressures and responsibilities. Before we look at that story here then, Let's just consider the situation. What was happening here then? Well, as you see, this is an incident that occurred at the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Now, Martha and Mary and Lazarus, they were brother and sisters. And they were good friends of Jesus. You know, again, it's odd that we usually don't think of Jesus as having friends, but he did. He had his disciples, and of course, he ministered to many people, countless people. But there were some who were close to Jesus, who were friends. Because we see Jesus often at the home, in the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Now, we don't know exactly what their situation was, but there is a tradition in the church. There is a tradition that holds that Martha was the oldest of them, that she was the oldest sister, and that she was a widow, and that after her husband had died, that her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus had moved in with her, and so it was the three of them in this home. Like I said, we don't know that for sure, but that is what tradition is on that. So here they were in this home, and they lived in a little village called Bethany, which was just a few miles east of Jerusalem. What the scriptures do clearly tell about us are three things. We know this. There were three incidents in the Gospels that involve Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The first one is this story that we have here today, which was early in Jesus' ministry, and we'll read that in just a moment. The second story, and perhaps the one that is best known that involves these three, is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Recall that Lazarus had been ill. Jesus knew them well. They were friends. Lazarus had been ill, and word was sent to Jesus that Lazarus was ill, seriously ill. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a good friend of Jesus, and I knew who he was and what he could do, and my brother, my loved one, was gravely ill, I would certainly be in a hurry to get to Jesus and want Jesus to come and be there, wouldn't you? And that was what Martha and Mary wanted. They said, Lord, he's ill. Come. Come to him. But Jesus delayed, didn't he? He didn't come right away because he knew that he was going to do something greater. In that delay, though, Lazarus died. And so when Jesus did come, first Martha ran out to him, and then Mary coming out to him, saying, Lord, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. That's what they said. Our brother would not have died. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And those words, I think some of those are some of the most precious words in all of Scripture right there. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I pray that you believe that as well. So there is our story today. There is that story. But then there was one other story in the scriptures that involve Mary and Martha. It's the story that is just shortly after that raising of Lazarus. It's the time when Jesus' ministry was drawing to a close, his earthly ministry. And Mary then, they were gathered in her home, and Mary poured out a bottle of expensive perfume on Jesus as an expression of her love for him. Do you remember that story? She poured that perfume out on him. But then some of the disciples, and one in particular, Judas, started grumbling and complaining about that. What did Judas say? He says, what a waste! This is an expensive bottle of perfume. Why, it's worth a whole year's wages. And she has just taken it and just wasted it, just pouring it out on you. Why, we could have sold that and used the money to help the poor. But John tells us, though, that that really wasn't Judas's motive, was it? That Judas was a thief. So he wanted to take that money, to put it as the treasurer of the group, entrusted with that. He wanted to take that money for himself. So what did Jesus say when they were giving her a hard time? He said, leave her alone. Even then, she had chosen the better thing. So our story then today is earlier than those events. Jesus was quite popular among the people, and there were many people clamoring to see him, wanting to be around him. I'm sure that all of us, had we lived then, we would certainly want to go and see this Jesus. We'd heard stories of his miracles, heard about his teaching, how he challenged the authority of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the official teachers of the law. I certainly would have been interested in seeing him too. And yet Jesus knew that so many who were coming to see him and wanting to be around him weren't coming to see him because they were serious about following him. They had other motives, sometimes as base and basic as getting a free meal. So Jesus knew that there were many who were following him but were not true followers. And Jesus began to make it clear that he really wasn't interested in big crowds just for the sake of big crowds. That he had something else in mind here. What he was really interested in were people who would listen to him and obey his word and act upon his word to be real followers of Jesus Christ. Not just the curious, not just the ones who were looking to have some kind of need met for them, not just the ones who wanted to see an interesting show. He was looking for worshipers, for ones who would listen to him, obey him, and follow him. In fact, Jesus would begin to deliberately say things to discourage people who weren't serious about following him. As he would tell the Samaritan woman at the well, he said, the Father is seeking worshipers, those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus would challenge his listeners to take up their cross, to die to self, and to follow him. He would challenge people to listen to his words and obey. So in our text today, Jesus had just told the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? And he was now then once again on his way when he stopped at the home of Martha and Mary for dinner. If you have your Bibles, let's look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So that is the situation, and that is the story there. What is the lesson? What is the lesson for us here today? As I said, as I was thinking about this day, that this day was coming, I thought that we certainly wanted to take a day, Mother's Day, to honor our mothers, to have a message which is for mothers. But I thought it important, though, to have a message that isn't just for busy moms, but for all of us, for busy people, for stressed out people. That this truth is not just for busy and stressed out moms. It's for all of us here today. Perhaps it is for you here today, the lessons that we can learn from this story of Martha and Mary. Anybody here feeling a little bit stressed out? Okay, I see a few hands there. Yeah. Probably all of us have certainly felt it at one time or another, haven't we? And that's a part of life. We're all going to feel that from time to time. The question is, though, is what lesson is there for us, all of us, in this story here? Well, I think the first thing that we learn from this is it's a story of two women with a different focus in their life, with a different fellowship in their life, and a different feeling that brought in them. First one is Martha. What do we see? Martha represents for us busyness, going about her responsibilities, trying to get everything done that had to be done. And with it then, what? The stress. The stress of trying to get all of that done. But I want to make something clear right from the outset here. Sometimes Martha gets a hard time from us, doesn't she? You know, we read this story, you know, and we see this, and we give Martha a hard time. You know, like, Martha, she's so busy running around, stressing out, trying to get all of this done. She just needs to sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary. And yet, how many of us have been like Martha, stressing out, trying to get everything done, even godly things, ministry things, trying to get all of these things done, stressing out on it without taking the time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him, commune with Him. So Martha gets a hard time from us sometimes, but yet probably every single one of us has been guilty of the very same thing, haven't we? And then let me say another thing sometimes Martha gets a hard time about that I don't think it's fair, but almost the implication is that Martha is just busy doing all of these things, stressing out, and there's Mary worshiping, listening to Jesus. She's the one who really loved Jesus. I think Martha really loved Jesus too, didn't she? She loved Him just as much as Mary did. She just needs a little perspective adjustment here, a little priority adjustment. Martha loved Jesus. And how did she show her love? She showed her love by being so busy for Him, trying to make everything just right, that He was a guest in her home. And she wanted everything to be just right because she loved Him and she wanted to honor Him. Perhaps some of us here, we have ministry responsibilities, other things that we do this because we do love the Lord. We do want to honor Him. Sometimes the pressure and the burden that can bring, though, can get us off track. And we get stressed out thinking about everything that has to be done instead of communing with the One for whom we are doing it. So Martha, she is not unlike so many of us. And Martha loved the Lord, just as Mary did. But she needed a little perspective adjustment, just as I have. And I'm sure many of you have as well. In fact, you know what prompted this? I know this story. I've reflected on it many a times. I'm sure that many of you have as well. But about a month or two ago, I realized I needed a fresh perspective here again. That I was starting to feel a lot like a Martha. And I needed some adjustment here. Not what are we doing, but for whom are we doing it? So Martha loved the Lord, but something had gotten in the way of her being able to follow Him in the way that He wanted her to follow Him. She was so busy serving Jesus and worried about all of that, that she didn't take the time to simply sit at Jesus' feet and listen to Him. So I'd like to consider then the lessons we can learn from them. Martha, who needed an attitude adjustment, she needed to take a chill pill, if you will. It's not that the work didn't need to be done. It's just that there was a time for it. That there was something better first. And then there would be time for the work that needed to be done. She was so busy attending to the details that she missed the main thing. The main thing that Jesus called the better thing. Said Mary has chosen the better thing. Not that what Martha was doing was bad or wrong or wasn't a good thing. It's just that there's a better thing. More important than what we do is communing with the one for whom we do it. And Martha had missed that. Each of these sisters had a different focus, what they were focusing on. They had a different quality of fellowship with the Lord. And it was, as a result, they had different feelings that they experienced from that. What is Martha's focus? Martha's focus, what is busy, busy, busy. So much to be done. So many preparations. So much work. Got to make sure that everything is just right. Remember a while back, I had a message like, this has become something, and I admit I was guilty of it then, and I still am even now. Where in our culture, it's become popular if someone asks how you're doing, what do we like to say? You know, sometimes, you know, I'm busy, I'm keeping busy. Or people will come up to you and say, keeping busy? Oh yeah. Part of our culture is we have this obsession with keeping busy, always being about something. And even in the church, we've all got to be busy doing something, right? Well, it's good to be busy about the Lord's work, isn't it? But that's a different thing from busy, 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 consumed and focused on the busyness at the expense of our communion with our Lord. So Martha's focus on the busyness, everything that has to be done. What was her fellowship with Christ? Well, at that point, frankly, there wasn't much, was there? There wasn't much quality of fellowship. She wasn't communing with Him. She wasn't talking with Him, listening to Him. And when she finally did speak to Him, I find that it's a little bit shocking in a way. But there it is, Martha's being human there, just like probably many of us would have said. There's Martha. She's so stressed out, so caught up in the preparations there, that when she finally does speak to Jesus, what does she say? She complains. And she barks out an order at the Lord of the universe. Isn't it something? Here's the Lord of the universe. God in human flesh, a guest in her home. And first she says, Lord, don't you care that Mary is making me do all the work? And then she doesn't even then say, could you ask her to help me, please? What does she say? Tell her to help me. Says a little something about the quality of her fellowship with the Lord at that point, isn't it? You know what? I think it's okay to release our complaints to the Lord. He can take them. He can handle them. That's part of the fellowship process, is releasing those things to Him. But here she was, rather than quietly sitting at His feet, listening to Him, communing with Him. When she finally does get around to talking with Him, she just pours out a complaint. There's even almost a little bit of hint of accusation. And actually, it's not even a hint. It's right there, isn't it? Don't you care, Lord, what she's doing? And then telling the Lord what He ought to do. Tell her to help me. And maybe sometimes when we have become so burdened and busy with responsibilities, with pressures, with things like this, maybe our fellowship, and we're not taking the time to simply sit at His feet and be quiet and listen to Him, it's not too surprising that when we finally do speak, it comes out as complaint, as accusation perhaps even, ordering, telling the Lord what we want Him to do. Martha's a picture there for many of us. So what was her focus? Busy, busy, busy. What was her fellowship? None. Complaints and demands of the Lord. Finally, what were her feelings? Well, not so surprisingly, Martha is rather harried and upset, isn't she? And Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So here's Martha, irritated that she has to do all the work herself, worried, distracted, upset. She's not enjoying the company of the Lord. She is stressed out. So Martha's busyness and the stress that comes from that, from not communing with our Lord. Then we see another lesson here from Mary. Mary's situation is quite different. Now, you know what? The work still needed to be done. And it would be in its time. But her focus isn't on busy, 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 what needs to be done. Her focus is listening to Jesus, communing with Him, worshiping Him, enjoying His company. It's not that the work didn't have to get done. It did, and it would. But she just understood that there was a time to put that work aside for a moment and commune with Jesus, sitting at His feet. She'd do her work, but first, she would sit with Jesus. Her focus was on Him and not on the work itself that needed to be done. Her focus was on Him and not the burdens and the pressures, the responsibilities. So that was her focus, Jesus, and her relationship with Him. What was her fellowship? Well, her fellowship was close and intimate, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, this was actually a scandalous thing for Mary to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him. You know why? She was a woman, and women did not sit at the feet of teachers. That was something only men did. Only men sat at the feet of teachers and listened to them. But Jesus really wasn't concerned about convention. So here she was, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him. And the text says it's not just that she's just sitting there, listening to what He has to say, but she's focused on that, and she's listening with a view to obey. It's communion with the Lord. Not just taking a break from the work and sitting here the way it looked like to Martha, that, oh, Mary's just sitting over there when she should be helping me. She was eagerly listening to Him, communing with the Lord, worshiping Him. She was devoted to Him. She wasn't just a casual follower of Christ. She wanted to listen to everything He had to say. So she had an attitude of worship. Again, is worship just sitting on a Sunday morning here in a building like this, singing some songs? Worship is a lifestyle, isn't it? It's an attitude. It is declaring each day, each moment of our lives, that He is worthy of our all. Listening to Him, obeying Him is worship. In fact, Scripture says what? That our true act of worship is what? To present our bodies as living sacrifice. In other words, to give all that we have and all that we are to Him, for His service. That is reasonable worship. And this was Mary's attitude. So Mary's focus on Jesus, her fellowship, was deep and intimate. And what was Mary's feeling in this? Was she stressed out and worried and distracted by many things? No, there was calm and peace in her heart. There was perspective on her life and her work. There was worship and peace, and Jesus said that she had chosen the better thing. What is the better thing? Better thing is listening to Him, focusing on Him first before anything else, communing with Him. It's better to commune with Him than to be worried about everything you have to get done and everything that's going on in your life, all of your problems and burdens. In Mary's case, she had the joy and the privilege of sitting at His feet and seeing Him directly right there in the flesh. She could commune with Him directly, physically, in person, right there. Now, we can't commune with Him in that same way that she could then, but we certainly can come into His presence and listen to Him, can't we? How do we commune with Jesus? How do we sit at His feet? Well, by meditating on His Word, not simply opening up the Scripture and checking off our daily reading and say, I've done my duty for the day, but listening to what He's saying through that, communing with Him, meditating on it. What does it meditate? Literally means to chew over and over. Lord, what are You saying to me today through Your Word? Talking with Him in prayer. Prayer is a dialogue, not a grocery list of things that we want Him to do, but it's listening to His still small voice as He speaks back to us as we pray. Perhaps then too we can commune with Him in nature. I just really enjoy that, going out somewhere to a beautiful space, a beautiful place, and giving thanks to God for the wonders of His creation. We all need to simply sit at the feet of Jesus, and especially when we're feeling overwhelmed by the burdens and pressures of life, the burdens and pressures of ministry. Ministry's hard, isn't it? It's tough. Serving other people is hard. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, there is someone I always think of on Mother's Day. Besides my own mother, there was another mother, kind of a spiritual mother to me, a second spiritual mom, if you will. And that was my best friend's mother, and her name was Jill. And we're still in contact to this day. And I've told you a little bit before in the past about Jill. And the one thing she always used to say that has stuck with me to this day, there are two things, and I've told you about the first one. I'll tell you the second one here today. The first one is she would always say, you've got to have a balance. Or where is the balance? The need for proper perspective to hold biblical truth and doctrine and all of these things in perspective and balanced out, not getting too carried away or going too far in one direction or the other, but finding the balance. It's always, where's the balance? Where's the balance? Okay. You know, there are a lot of doctrines, there are a lot of teachings in the Scriptures that are good things, but you can take them too far, can't you? And miss out. There's a balance. There's not a contradictory, but a fuller truth from the rest of Scripture. The new needs to be brought in. Where's the balance? Where's the balance? The other thing she always used to say to me, though, that I remember besides where's the balance, was, honey, you need to sit at the feet of Jesus. You need to sit at the feet of Jesus. And what does she mean by that? She meant, how's your relationship with the Lord? How's your walk with the Lord? How's your communion with the Lord? Yeah, that's great and fine that you're busy doing different things, that you're studying, that you're learning. But are you sitting at the feet of Jesus, communing with Him? And that was especially important if I was stressed out about something and complaining about it. Honey, you need to sit at the feet of Jesus. I need that reminder from time to time. I need it again here recently. How about you? Feeling stressed out? You need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Worship. Communing with Jesus isn't going to make all of your problems go away. But they do bring, worship does bring peace and perspective to us in the midst of life's difficulties and trials. Worship brings peace and perspective to us. Peace, again, not that God instantly solves all of our problems, but He goes to work in them. And knowing that we can cast our burdens on Him. We can cast all of our anxieties on Him. Because He cares for you. Brings peace, and it also brings some perspective. What kind of perspective? Well, I have found that oftentimes when I am communing with the Lord, giving these problems and burdens to Him, have you noticed that sometimes problems that just seem so big suddenly look a lot smaller when you've been worshiping the Lord? And maybe there's some other problems that, no, they don't suddenly look a lot smaller. They're still big problems. But there's a different perspective on it, though, now. That is that, you know what? This is in God's hands. He will deal with this. He will handle this. He will work for good through this. And suddenly those big problems become a lot more manageable. It comes through worship. Worship brings peace and perspective in the midst of life's pressures and responsibilities. You know, sometimes we just need to be still before Him. Let's pray. Father, we do want to acknowledge here this morning that You are indeed God. You are the Lord of the universe, that You have all power, that You know all things, that You know every single thing about us here. You know the burdens, the pressures, the responsibilities that each one of us carries each day. You know, Lord, our tendency to hold on to these things and carry them ourselves, to worry, to stress. But You tell us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, to present our petitions to You, to pray to You, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You tell us to cast all of our anxieties on You because You care for us. You are the God who can do all things. You are the God who works for our good in all things. So, Father, I pray then for each one of us here that You teach us whenever we're tempted to start feeling stressed out and worried, to give those things to You, to present ourselves to You as living sacrifices, because this is our reasonable and acceptable worship. Thank You, Lord, that we can entrust You. Thank You, Lord, that You are, even now, working for our good. Thank You, Lord, that we have hope in Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray.